So the chickens stopped, which is good. But when I first answered the call, or when you answered the call, immediately there was a rooster, and it sounded like it was sitting on the table next to you. So I'm glad that's not the case.
As winter kicks in, I gravitate towards the kitchen. So you'll notice I'll be in the kitchen more, because my office is always kind of a little too cold. It's got bed heating pipe in there. And so
I'm
right out.
There you go.
The porch, it's a little overcast today. And then especially if like a hawk starts showing up, the birds all run under the porch or into the bushes, whichever's closest. And I guess today the porch is closest. So you could hear the turkeys and the guinea hens, and they're all out on the porch surrounding the kitchen. The kitchen has a porch that goes completely around it from one side to the other. So I apologize in advance. I'll go out and tell them all to leave.
It's so pleasant. I like it.
I love having the birds around here. It's a lot of fun. It's always like a big laugh in the afternoon when I come home to get packages or eat lunch or something. And they all come running up to me. They're like, oh, Daddy's home. Oh, he doesn't have food. There's food over there. And then they all turn and just run in the other direction. So it's cute.
So I don't know that we've ever actually talked about the birds on here. And like, it's just for eggs, right?
Yeah,
turkeys and the chickens just for eggs?
Just for eggs and just for content. That's it.
Just for noise.
Just for eggs and content and background texture. No, Taylor, one day, this is the true origin story of how we started getting chickens. Taylor went to Tractor Supply to get something for the house. And she came back and she goes, don't get mad at me. I go, what? And she pulls out two boxes, like, you know, my pet rock boxes. And there was six chickens in each of them, six white ones and six black ones. And that was class one. And we got 12 birds. And that was when we would count every night. We'd count as they grew up that summer. We would count them as they went inside. We'd be like, there's a bird missing. And then everyone's looking for the bird. And then we'd find it like sitting in a tree because it was like too far away. And every night we counted. And then as we got more and more birds, and then we lost count, and we just said, whatever. Then they're everywhere. And so we don't count. So I don't know. Like every once in a while, me or Willie would be like, did you see the gray one lately? And be like, no, I haven't seen the gray one. And then we'll like go through the whole flock of it. Oh, there he is. So there's so many, we can't even keep track of them now. That was about 4 years ago.
That is the exact problem that I'm looking for, but with wiener dogs.
Yeah, right.
You're looking for? So you want so many wiener dogs you don't know that.
Did I ever tell you guys the time? So wow. I Taylor says, what do you want for your 50th birthday? I said, you know what I want for my 50th? I want another Yorkie. Because like we were down to no Yorkies, unfortunately. They all passed because they were all too old. And so we had no Yorkies. And so I just Googled. I went into the computer. I Googled Yorkie breeder. And there was one in Connecticut, you know, about 50 miles away or 100 miles away, whatever. And so Taylor made an appointment with her, and we went to her house to go pick one out. And we go to this woman's house in Mystic, which actually is kind of far. And right away, we park near her fence. She's kind of on the beach, and the dogs are in the backyard. We lean over the fence. There's like 10 Yorkies. And then we get up to the house, and she's got like a sliding glass, like beach door to the house. There's like 20 Yorkies like jumping on the glass. We go to the main front door of the house. There's like 15 more Yorkies jumping.
What?
We went inside. Like the whole entire floor was the texture of like little Yorkies. I started crying. I felt like I went to heaven. It was. I really did. I was like this. Like, it overwhelmed me because they were so cute. I just happen to really like Yorkshire Terriers. And it was just incredible. And Taylor, I was like, remember that time you cried because there was so many Yorkies in one room?
That's amazing.
And then that's in there, awesome. They were all the same size. They were all like the same, like 6 pound Yorkie. And she knew every one of them. Like, we're like, do you know who these all are? She's like, oh yeah, that's Blinky and Pinky and so on and blah, blah, blah. And it was so cute. And then she showed us the cage where the newborns were. And there was like four newborns in there. And we picked the smallest one. And that's the one we got now. That's Chippy. Hmm. And so that's the Yorkie origin story for Chippy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it's like if you had so many wiener dogs in one spot, Dave, you would definitely like break into tears of joy. Oh.
So there's a dog rescue place here locally, and they have a Facebook page where this one girl takes, like, she fosters them. She takes them home and takes care of them at her place while they're waiting for them to get adopted out or whatever. And so she has this backyard and a bunch of different kind of separations. So there's big sections of yard and they all have different dogs in them. And she always has like 20 or dogs or so at the same time. And she names every one of them. And she always comes up with these different names for like all the puppies, all the old dogs, everything. And then she does videos multiple times a day of her running around showing off these dogs, and it helps the dogs get adopted. But my wife loves to watch this girl's videos because she just gets to see dogs. It's just like, it doesn't matter what kind they are. It doesn't matter how old they are, what they're doing. It's just dogs. And so we sit down on the couch at the end of the night and I'm like, all right, let's watch a show. And she's like, no, I'm watching Lacey's dogs. And you just hear the girl over there like talking to all these, like it's a different name every time because it's different dogs every time. Yeah, she loves it. But that's how we stave off actually getting a dog.
Just by watching them.
As long as possible. Yeah. She's getting her fix. But at least we don't have room for chickens. That would be a bad thing, I think, because she would definitely want chickens. We don't have room for it. Anyway.
April's got chickens and she's having fun.
Yeah.
So
she's got a lot of room.
They're just so silly, the chickens. They're just so stupid. It's funny. They make you laugh. Every time you look at them, you're like, how could you be so stupid? I'll give you another quick funny story about chickens. So Scott is the guy who mails all my stuff for my website. If anybody deals with my website, you deal with Scott. And so Scott came here to pick up a bunch of ice picks a few months ago with his daughter who's wanted to see the chickens. And she's probably about 12 or 13 or 11. And we went into the chicken coop and I reached, I grabbed three eggs. I said, here, keep these warm. And in 21 days, you might have a chicken. You might not, but you might. And Scott kept, he's like, I'm so stressed out now. You gave me these eggs. He goes, I got to make sure these eggs don't break. He goes, because you're killing me. I'm so stressed out. So as it got down closer to 21 days, he realized there was probably a bird in two of them, and at least two of them. So I sent him an incubator from Amazon, and one of the three eggs hatched into a bird. So I was there the other day dropping product off, and his daughter's there with this cute little rooster. She's like, I think it's a rooster. He keeps crowing. I'm like, he's definitely a rooster if he's crowing. There's no question about it. I could tell that he was a rooster. But he's like pint size. He's growing up, obviously. He's like past chicken. He's past chick phase. And it's the cutest thing. And she, because he's the only bird that she has, she's spent a lot of time with him. He like stays with her. She's like, if I put a chicken down in my backyard and I would never be able to pick him up again until it was time for it to go to sleep. They just don't want to be picked up. But this one, like, she lets it walk around and she puts a finger and it comes to her. It's really cute. I'm like, wow, I've never seen the bird so, like, it's like a cat.
Huh.
The bird so, you know, domesticated like that. So that's a funny story.
That's wild.
So
need to spend more time outside with your chickens. Then,
yeah.
Apparently.
So it was funny. I just gave her eggs. I'm like, these might become a bird, but they might not. Like, don't get let down if they don't. It's just really, you know, that's nature. And then turns out she's got a bird now. It's such a cool cycle of life.
That's pretty awesome. Well, how was Thanksgiving? You guys do anything?
Just relaxed. Not do anything? Just did nothing. Relaxed.
Yeah, my mom made a roast and I went and picked it up and brought it back home and just kind of pretended like it was a day off. We didn't get together this year. And it's probably be the same for Christmas. I don't think my mom understands why, but I think it makes her a little bit sad. I mean, it makes everybody a little bit sad, but
yeah,
I think she really wants us to get together, but she understands that it's just not a good time right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our Christmas will probably be similar. Our Thanksgiving, we just had my parents over, which they're kind of in our little safety bubble. So we see them a lot anyway. But you know, it was good, just kind of different and low key, but we did have snow. Yesterday, 2 days ago, which is weird for us. Like, it just, I know you got it too, David, but for us to go ahead and get any kind of snow at this point of the year was really cool because, like, as weird as Thanksgiving is and as weird as the season has already been so far, you know, like this entire year, fall, everything, to like have this desire to want to get into the Christmas season and then all of a sudden we get some snow, which is out of character for where we live. I was like, sweet, let's do it. Like, Christmas movies, decorations, like apple cider. We're just going for it. I'm trying to help our kids kind of have a really Christmassy season because the year's been so weird for them and so different, like with school and, you know, they're not getting to see their friends and all this stuff. So we're like going whole hog. I've ordered tons of Christmas lights. I'm going to like dress the house up more than I ever have before, just trying to go all out. So the snow helped. My point is, like, the snow really helped push everybody into the, you know, let's get that Christmas spirit kind of in the house. So it made up for the weird Thanksgiving, I
think. Good.
I think.
Good.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, other than Thanksgiving, what have you guys been up to?
We're trying something a little bit different. Yesterday we worked on three quick videos. And I don't know if this is going to be a topic or not, but all three of these videos are a little bit different than what I normally do. And they're quick and not very complicated. And so we might be trying a thing where we put out videos every couple days just to see how YouTube reacts to it, to see how my audience reacts to it. But the colorful 70s Minwax table, that one's done. I'm waiting for the sponsor to review that. And so yesterday we shot a video on Andrew Klein's new drill press fence. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but he's a consultant for what's the name of that company? Megswitch, yes.
Megswitch.
And it's just this big metal fence that just with the on and off magnets that goes on your drill press table. It's so simple, but nobody's done it before. And so we made a little video on that. That thing works great. And I don't usually do like, here's a new product, check this out type thing. And then I made a video on making a stand for Wesley Treat's hot dog cooker.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a ridiculous little uni tool. It does one thing. And so I made a ridiculous stand for it. So it has a permanent stand in the backyard. So when I go to cook hot dogs, I just go right there. So we had fun with that. And that only took a couple hours to shoot. And then Dan and I ate a hot dog on camera afterwards. And then a buddy of mine, he has this.
Two hot dogs, right? Or did you didn't share a hot dog?
We discussed it, and we did not do the Lady and the Tramp thing, although it was discussed. but we decided, because of COVID, we went with two hot dogs.
Good plan.
And then
for several reasons.
And then my buddy, I always say no to these things, but this time I said yes, but he asked me to help him out with... He's got this like 120-year-old house, and that little middle section of the between the two panes of glass broke, and he didn't know how to fix it. And I was like, yeah, I'll help you out. And I grabbed a window and I brought it home. And I thought, hey, I'll make a video on this. And so I'm making a video on fixing this 120-year-old window. I might not be doing it right, but it's a video and it's gonna work.
That's right. If you end up with a fixed window, then you're probably doing it right.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's about it. Yeah.
So you're going to release those, you know, in succession every couple of days? That's the idea?
I think so, yeah. I have not done that, and I just wanted to see if making quicker, more simple videos is a good thing. And maybe it takes a little bit of pressure off of me trying to do one video a week of a project that takes 2 days to make, and then another 2 days to edit, and I don't know. It's I got to get out of my rhythm of what I've been doing for years. I got to do something different, otherwise I'm just gonna go nuts.
That's important to recognize and change it up.
Yeah,
that pace is. It's hard to change, though.
It really is.
This a million times. But that pattern, there's a lot of security in it. Like, whether it's actual security or just this assumed, you know, this is the pattern, it works pretty well, so I'm just going to keep doing it. I don't know. That's been a really tough thing for me to break out of. And I've done it a few times, you know, where I just, like, take a week off just for the sake of taking a week off. Usually if there's a month with five Thursdays in it, we'll take one off for sure. And then, past that, it's like, well... I'm just going to try to be okay with not doing a video this week. And then it's like this internal struggle with like, yeah, but I really should be. Like, I really should be working harder. I really should be trying to get a video done. Yeah, that's a tough thing to try to get yourself okay with changing your schedule like that, the pattern.
And I think we've all have tried this before, and then we end up going back to the thing that we know. And I know that the schedule that I have, it pays the bills, and it doesn't necessarily mean I have huge growth, but it does mean I get to keep doing this for so much longer because it works every single week. This works, and I don't know. I've just been doing this for years. It's time to figure something out, and maybe in January I go back to doing one project a week. But I gotta throw a wrench into the system every once in a while and see what happens.
Yeah. So I'm curious about this because this is something that we've kind of talked about several times about changing things or trying not to be on the schedule or whatever. And you may not have an answer to this. What's your like measurement tool for whether this works for you? Something like this would work for you. Is it like a week out? You look back at each one of those videos and see how they performed. Is it what kind of, you know, recommendation your channel starts getting? Is it just how you feel, how the income is? Like, kind of what's your gauge?
For me, the gauge really is the views. Where is the video at by the time the next video comes out, which is usually a week? What is that number? And there's a usual number. And YouTube has this great little thing where it shows you, if you don't know, it shows you where your latest video is compared to the last 9 videos. So it'll say, this video is one of 10. It is stressful, but it's also very rewarding when I get into the top 3 because it's like I did something right. It usually means I made a decent thumbnail and title. And that's it really, I just feel like I need to get better at the thumbnail title thing. Because I think all my videos are good. I put a lot of work into my videos. I just got to get people to watch them. And that's the toughest thing. But yeah, success is measured on mostly in views. Whether that's right or wrong, that's how I'm measuring success.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you can measure. I don't know that any of them are right or wrong. But I'm just curious about that. Because, you know, there's like a... When we put up a video, there's a big fall off after the first 24 hours, but 48 hours for sure. Mm-hmm. Like you can see that, you know, it's downhill in the number of views and then it flattens out at about 48 hours. And so I know at that point I can kind of stop watching it. Unless it's one that has like a long tail growth that, you know, gets views accumulated over a really long period of time. That's kind of the way I measure that first 24, 48 hours. Do what?
How did your long video do? The one that you were nervous about being too long, the special effects video?
It's done all right. Not as well as I had hoped, but probably better than the last few. So yeah, it's done fine. You know, it's one of those where I really wanted people to enjoy the end of it, and I'm not sure that a lot of people got to the end of it because if they're not drawn into needing what the thumbnail and the title offer them, then they don't ever get in to try it out. And I totally get that. Just I do so many different types of things, a lot of them are not going to hit with a lot of people. They're just more specific, which is, you know, I think I've said this before, it's kind of a self-defense mechanism to be like, oh well, you know, this video is just too specific to be general appeal, so it's never going to get that many views, and that's okay. That's what it's made for. And I can legitimately think that, or I can use that as a way to deflect the fact that it just didn't draw people in, whether that's my fault or that's just the state of the video or whatever. So I try to be on that line there between letting that be a defense mechanism and being, you know, like I have a video about making a little thing to move a canoe. Most people don't have a canoe to move. So that's not going to be a big, you know, high view video. Most people don't need to make action movie props. So it's okay that maybe people aren't drawn into that. You know what I mean? So I kind of have to go back and forth and kind of temper my expectation of how a video is going to perform based on those types of things. It's not like I'm just really good at one thing and I go down that road and people always know to look for me for this type of thing. So it's just a little more scattershot, you know, both content-wise and performance-wise.
I mean, I never plan on making a movie prop ever. Maybe something that'll change. But the reason I watched that video is because, like, I want to understand how those techniques are done. And I can keep that in the back pocket. And if I watch the video and if I pay attention to the video, I might not know how to do that thing, ABC, finish. But I know, like, oh, that's the resource I need to go to when I do need to do that certain technique. And so I will watch those videos just so I can keep those techniques in the back pocket for future use. And I wish my audience was more like that. I wish my audience was me. I think that's, we make videos because we make videos for ourselves and we want a like-minded audience.
That's an excellent point. And that right there, what you just said, is one of the big points of contention between creators and consumers. Hands down. Because we want them to want what we want. They want us to make what they want. And those things don't always hit together. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes they do, and you can see it in the views. But when they don't, that's where the frustration comes in, when the comments are negative or they're like contrary to what you want. And you're like, no, you're not getting what I wanted. And then the consumer's like, no, you're not making what I wanted. There's nothing wrong with either side of that. But that's where that like tension lies. You nailed it in that. I kind of wish that there was a way, and maybe you could do this, but where you could make a video and then have this little, like, when somebody sees it, they get the thumbnail, they get the title, and then they get this little blip of, like, you're going to learn these four things. You know, and, like, you got to condense it down to just, like, a four-word list of these are the things you're going to walk away with, so that they don't have a chance to be like, well, that thumbnail's not really that interesting. It's like, you're going to learn two-part mold making and cold casting and this and this. And then if they decide those are things they don't care about, then they walk away. So I guess you could do that. You could just, like, stick that in the thumbnail. But it'd be fun to be able to, like, condense the video down to, like, a thing that you just
hit
somebody with. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen, Bob, because what has happened in the beginning, I remember the moment when I used to give my videos to Make Magazine, and they always had a thumbnail that was modded, you know, like implied. And I was like, whoa, how do you do that? How do you just not have a random photograph thumbnail? Like, to me, that was like, whoa, you mean you could pick your own thumbnail? And, like, I don't know if that's something that came into play 8 years ago or whatever. And then if you stop your mouse over a video, the video starts to play with, like, subtitles if it's available. Now they're probably going to have a little section where it's like, upload your sizzle reel. And so for that video, you can make a 10-second sizzle reel that will pop up the audio if you keep your cursor, or if you hold on it on the phone for a second, all of a sudden it'll come to life and the sizzle reel will come up. So you're going to have physically intended thumbnails with voiceover. So, Bob, you just invented that.
Well, I mean, they do have a little thing where when you go over a thumbnail, it will play like a little loop.
That's what I'm saying, but that
from
loop,
within the video
that
somewhere,
loop will be intended,
but you don't get to pick it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you make that actually, loop.
You make that loop. That's the invention you just came up with. I just clarified.
Well, the problem with that, I can tell you why that'll never happen, because that would give somebody the opportunity to falsify the preview for what was in the video.
Oh, you mean clickbait? Is that what you mean? Clickbait? Is that illegal?
That's exactly what
so I mean. Right now this kind of bothers me, but on the phone, as you're going through your subscription or your recommended videos, if you stop scrolling, one of the videos starts playing. It does look a little autoplay, and I don't like it. Although I'm getting used to it, because now I can kind of get a little preview. I really hated it at first, but now I kind of use it to see if I want to watch the video. But the problem with it is, then when I go to my computer later, it'll show that I watched that video. It'll show that little red line.
Yeah.
And I might not watch the video now, even though I wanted to. But in my head, I might think, oh, I've already watched that. I don't need to. And it kind of, I wish it didn't show up in that watch history thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm with you. Because, like, I'll be flipping through sometimes, and I get distracted, and I look up, and I'm not looking at my phone anymore, but it just the feed stopped on some random thing and like starts playing the video. And then I go back and look at my watch history and I'm like, I didn't watch highlights from a basketball game. Like, what? Or like, yeah. I didn't watch somebody play Minecraft for, you know, 28 seconds or some random thing that just happened and it ends up in my feed that affects your like recommendations and all that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know how we got to the thing. There was a... Oh, I haven't talked about what I was working on this week.
Can I tell you...
I got a couple of things. Go ahead.
We used to, Bob and I, a long time ago, with other people, we used to get together like once a week or maybe it was once every 2 weeks, and we would just talk about YouTube stuff behind the scenes. We used to have this little mastermind thing, and we don't do that anymore. And I never get to talk about the behind the scenes YouTube stuff anymore. So whenever we get on the topic of YouTube, I have so many things that I want to say and ask and I don't know. So
we should do a private session. We could record it if you want to put it in for the Patreons, but we should do a private hangout session about it.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's actually a really good suggestion for anybody who's getting into content creation of any kind. Like, we've done this on a couple of different occasions with different people, David and I have, where you just create a little group and you get together and you have an hour or whatever, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and you just talk about the business stuff. And you kind of, it's a way to get somebody else's insight into your business. And it's all private and, you know, trusted. Get somebody else's insight, and you also get to share the insight that you have with other people, and it just kind of lifts everybody up that's involved. And so if you're like on an island right now trying to do content creation, it's tough. And so being, you know, with other islands makes you less of an island. And sure you can share information.
Archipelago. So, that's what it makes you.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So I got a couple of things. One, last week in the after show, you guys both bought 3D printers based on my recommendation. Did you actually get
it? Yeah, the 3D printer and the curing bay or whatever that is called. It's sitting right there.
I have it.
Excellent.
I have it.
Okay.
Aaron was so excited. Aaron was like a little kid at Christmas.
That means it's in the box. That's what that means. I have it.
Mine is open. Aaron opened it right away, got it set up, and we waited for the curing station, which took a couple days, and it only came yesterday. So probably by the end of today, we'll have a 3D print, because Aaron's very good about jumping right in. So I'm excited.
Cool. So for anybody that wasn't listening in the after show, you should join the Patreon so you get to listen to the after show. I don't even know how it happened, but we got to talking about 3D printers. Oh, Jimmy was going to spend a bunch of money.
So I was about to buy a $4,000 Knorr from...
yes, a Knorr from Piappa Belly. Yes. Anyway, so I recommended this smaller resin printer. That's how much was it? $299.
Yeah. It was $288 when I put it in my cart, and then the next day when I bought it, it was $299.
Oh, dang.
Crazy.
Well, anyway, still pretty cheap for a resin printer. Anyway, so we got to talking about it, and I told him that I had this experience with this one printer. It's the Elegoo Mars Pro. I think, and they both bought one right there on the after show. It was really funny. So I was just curious if you had actually purchased them and if you had gotten them and messed with them at all.
Haven't turned them on yet.
Probably stuck. It will stop. Thank God for Aaron, because Aaron is excited about it as me, but more excited because he jumps right in. He's like, I don't know. He like tears the box open immediately. So thank you, Aaron.
I mean, so as you guys start messing with it, I would love it if you would maybe just do some stories showing the things that you print and like your reaction, because you both have experience with other 3D printers, so I'd love to see your kind of side-by-side reaction.
For sure.
You don't have to do anything for me, but it would just be interesting.
I will do anything for you, Bob.
Oh,
you saved Jimmy $3,400 or something like that.
I was about to buy the Piappali Noor. Is that how you say it? Noor? It looks like...
Sounds like you're speaking a different language. Piappali Noir.
Piappali Noir.
And it was $4,000. And I was all ready because I saw it over at Frank Ippolito's spot.
Ippolito.
Yeah, I was going to say Punish Props, but I'm mixing up two people.
Piappali.
anyway, I was about to go for it. And, you know, obviously getting to the end of the year, you start getting excited about spending some money for some tax write-offs, and then you basically said, don't jump that far. You don't need it yet. Just play around a little bit. And you were right. So I'll buy another big $4,000 machine that I don't need. Something different.
I mean, well, if you just need to get rid of the money, you can just send me a check for the remainder of the money that you're going to spend.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Say it's a donation or something. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
Anyway, okay. Well, I was curious about that. So for me, I got a couple of things. One, this past week, I just wanted to do a quick little project because we have, you know, the holidays coming up. We have some bigger things. I was thinking about what would be a good thing that somebody could make as a gift. And I've, a long time ago, made this little leather wallet, just kind of a minimalist leather wallet. And it had some problems with it. I didn't make a video out of it the first time. And so anyway, this week I made another one, this one, and I fixed the problems from the first one. And it's way better. And it turned out really nice. It's super simple, but it's just a single piece wallet with like a slot in the middle of it for cash and cards on the outside and stuff. But leatherworking is so, I can't quite think of the word. I don't want to use the word satisfying because that word gets thrown around a whole lot these days and it kind of annoys me. It's satisfying from it doesn't take much to accomplish much.
It's an easy art that people can master quickly. Because I've been also doing a lot of leather videos, a lot of people send me little private notes going, I never did it before. And wow, it's really fun and it's easy. You get much better results than you expect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I feel like when it's unfinished leather, you're like, man, this is going to look terrible. Like, it looks super rough and it's super just kind of gross, you know, floppy, whatever. And then you get the wax on it, you clean up the edges, you get the stitching in place, and all of a sudden it turns into this thing that you're like, oh, wow, that's like really nice and people would pay money for it. Anyway, but so like an afternoon's worth of work and I have a really nice wallet that I'm very happy with. It didn't take a lot of tools, didn't take a lot of time. You know, it's quiet, something you can do while you're like listening to music and watching a show and you don't have to worry about like tool noise or anything. So anyway,
I had
every time I do a leather project, I'm surprised at how much I enjoy it. And then I wait 6 months or 9 months and then I do another one.
But I had this, we welded up that metal base for the hot dog cooker yesterday. And when I was done, a similar experience, but a different feeling. It feels like welding to me is magic. Like I've been doing it for a couple of years now, but I was just like, I don't get this feeling when I do woodworking. When I weld something together, it still just makes me smile. Like, I can't believe I am performing wizardry, magic. And I don't know. It's just still has that wow moment for me.
That's awesome. I would like to hear about the motor, if you've made any progress on that. But as a way to get to that, remember a couple weeks ago I talked about, it's been like a month now probably, I was like jumping into an electronics project and you know, I spent all this time coding and everything and I hadn't done any electronic stuff in a while or any coding projects in a while. And so I had this idea, jumped into it and spent a couple of days just really heads down and trying to figure this out. And it's combining a bunch of different components that I have never put together. And they all have different requirements, power different requirements, different kind of like the way they interact with a central brain, a microcontroller. And so when I talked about it before, I was having trouble, I think, with getting them all to kind of line up. And a lot of people reached out after that show and said, you know, I'm an electronics person. If you need any help, let me know. I appreciate that. It wasn't stuff that I couldn't understand. It was, I just couldn't get the compatibilities right. Like all of the pieces weren't right. Well, since then, I found that there were certain things about the different Arduinos that I was trying that were just physically incompatible with the sensor or the object that I was trying to connect to it. So like there's no way to get those things together without basically starting from scratch and hand wiring your own Arduino, which I'm not going to do. So since then, I've spent time researching alternate sensors, alternate microcontrollers, and on my desk now, I have a functioning prototype with all the pieces in place of this thing, which in and of itself is not really, I know this is super cryptic and I'm not giving anything away yet because I'm far from the project being done. In and of itself, it's not groundbreaking. I'm not going to like patent it or anything like that. It's just a fun little gizmo. But the month-long process or more of 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Oh, these two things are incompatible. I got to look up how this thing works and deepen my understanding of what serial ports do and what, you know, how this thing works and how to jump voltages from this to this. All these little explorations. Turns out that I've actually learned a whole lot of stuff just to get this silly little project to work. And it now works. And that's not been like me putting my head down for a week and focusing on it. It's just, I stayed up 30 minutes later one night and I worked on it. And then I, you know, came in a little bit earlier the other day and I worked on it. And so I've made a lot of progress on this thing. And now it's at a point where I can start thinking, well, how do I take it off of my desk and turn it into the thing that I want it to be? And that feels really good. And it feels really different than the, like, I've got to make a video this week. Now I'm going to jump headlong into Project X, and I'm just going to focus on Project X until the footage is shot so that we can move on to the next thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, there's that like, we just got to get it done and move it off the plate. This is a thing that's just on the plate, my desk. It's in the way. And so it always, like, forces me to think about it and forces me to kind of tinker with it here. And it feels really good, and I don't know why I don't do more things like this. Have things that are kind of, I almost need to dedicate a space on my desk for something to be in the way all the time so that it's always on kind of the front of my brain. But anyway, so there's good progress on that. But I'm curious if that at all relates to the motor for your go-kart and if there's been any progress on that.
So very much so. I've been doing lots and lots of research. There's a couple of channels and, man, It's funny, they don't have many views. I'm like, there's so much good information in this video. And it's an hour long of just this guy talking. I'm like, this is gold. And I got a book and it's starting, I got to be careful because it's starting to turn into one of those projects where I feel like I have to gather too much information before getting started. And what I really need to do is get started because there's things that I know, like, this is step one. I got to do this. I got to remove the governor. I got to replace the flywheel. I don't need to keep researching those other things. I should just start this. But I have not started it. Dan saw the boxes yesterday when he was over, and he's like, what is this? And I told him the plan of, we're going to do a performance upgrade to this engine, and we're just going to film it one part at a time over the winter and then put out the video at the very end. And then at the beginning of this podcast, when I was talking about doing shorter, less complicated videos, I was wondering, but wait, what if each one of those little things was a video and it just became a series? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm conflicted of, like, do I film the whole thing over the winter and put out one video, or do I break it down in the shorter, easier to edit, easier to make videos?
Okay, so here's a question. If you, as a consumer, as somebody that needed all that information, we're going to look for that information, what would be the best way for you to consume it, to find
it? I would want it in one long video. I would like one resource for all of this information. That's how I would want it.
That would be different than a playlist of shorter things?
Yeah. I already know that I am not the typical YouTube consumer. So there's always like, is what I want different than what people want? But no, for this particular thing, I would want it to be like a book. Like, here's chapter one, two, all in one, one contained thing. A playlist would work. But I know people that are searching for that information.
I'm all in for super long videos that you can always go and revisit. Because, like, Samson Boat Company, his videos are really long. And I'm totally cool with that. It'll take me, like, probably the whole day to watch his videos. Because I'll watch 5 minutes and then go do something else. And then in the middle of lathing, I'll just be like, oh, you know what? Let me put on Samson for a minute, you know, and then get interrupted. And so I like long videos where they're digestible in pieces.
And here's the thing with the motor build. is there's all these different components that you have to replace because as you're adding more performance, this thing is no longer stable. It can fly apart and break. And so you got to add all these things. It's a dance. Each part of the motor somehow affects the other part. And it, for me, would be better if it was all in one instead of little individual things, because one thing affects another. and it needs to be explained in the video. Like, you know, you just can't go and replace this part. I'm doing that, but maybe you don't want to do that because you, because you're going to use this other thing. Like, so I would prefer it to be in one video. And then going back to the whole YouTube and the weeds stuff, there's this channel, it's called ARC Racing. They sell parts for racing go-karts, and they have this YouTube channel. And mostly it is just a guy who does these live streams, and they're like an hour and a half long. And you don't even need to watch. It just needs, you can listen to it like a podcast. So I will play the YouTube video in my car, shut the screen off, but the audio still is playing through my car. And I would just listen to him talk. And because they are this hour and a half long video, when I get back to my computer, YouTube loves long videos. And now it only recommends this videos from his channel because of that watch time. So part of me is like, I need to make longer videos because YouTube is trying to shove his videos down my throat now because of all the watch time that I've accumulated with him.
I've had kind of the opposite experience from creating longer videos. Oh. Like, there seems to be a threshold. And, you know, it just depends on your audience. I mean, audiences are into different things or they expect different things. But, like, we seem to have found the threshold of about 25 minutes is where things stop, regardless of the content. I think they stop performing. But you know, that's just, nothing is like, when it comes to YouTube, you can't say that anything is.
Yes.
It's just like, this is what I've seen, and maybe that means something, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But yeah, for us, that seems to be a recurring theme. Cool. Well, Jimmy, you had kind of like a,
well,
an idea.
I was going to jump into the idea only because last night, if anybody's watches my stories, last night I jumped in, I'd taken apart this 1985 Chevy truck that I had got over the summer. I got it from Vice Grip Garage, Derek over at Vice Grip Garage. Go check him out. He's a funny dude. And I had this kind of fear from the minute it showed up. I was trying to figure out how to fix it with the least possible amount of energy. Thought to myself, well, I could just paint it. I can just scrape off the rust. And I decided to challenge myself, completely fear-based, totally nervous, to jump in and completely dismantle the whole front end, take off the fenders and cut off all the rust and replace it much as possible without taking the cab off the truck, which I'm not going to do. And I bought all the necessary parts and they sat there since like July, August, and I was like, I'm never going to finish this. This is like one of those projects that's never going to get started. It's never going to happen. But that was the fear inside, just like constantly ticking away at me. And so last week, Willie cleared out the barn, got it really emptied out so we could pull the cars inside of it. And we did that. And on Saturday, I said, well, let's just take one fender off and see how that goes. And that's how I start getting past my fear, is we took one complete fender off. And I'm like, well, let's just take the grill off. And then let's take the other fender off. I mean, we got to take the hood off anyway, so let's just take both of them off. And within probably an hour and a half, the entire front end of the car is completely dismantled in preparation to have new parts put on. And then the inner wheel wells are all rotted, and Willie's like, you got to replace them. You can't fix them. I'm like, no, I'm going to fix them. He's like, just because we got this fall, let's replace them. So I was like, oh, so I went inside, bought new fenders online in the inner wheel wells. Anyway, and then last night I dug into changing the rocker panel, which is like major surgery on most, you know, for most people. And I got to a point where I was like, why was I so nervous about this? Like, why was I, like, the fear was basically pushing me away from even confronting it. And it's just, you know, I just wanted to just call attention to that and, you know, how often we do that to ourselves, where you see. There's always this lingering thing. There's always like a lingering project, and you really got to stop and ask yourself, the reason it's lingering is because there's something about it that just isn't clear to me yet, and I'm afraid to confront that. You know, if you look around your room and like all the projects that, you know, you just know you got to do, and it's like always ends up at the bottom of the priority list. And you always, and it really always ends up at the bottom of the priority list because there's a certain fear attached to it that you might not be recognizing. And that's the reason why it always ends up last in line. And you're like, when everything else is done and, you know, there's absolutely nowhere to go and nothing to do, then I'll do it. And so, but by confronting it, little, it's just like what you were saying, Bob, about, you know, getting to getting the knowledge in little baby doses, it helps you get past, in that case, it's baby doses of getting past the learning. And in this case, it's baby doses of getting past the fear of digging in and doing the right thing. Like even last night, like I even said it in my story, I'm like, I totally do not want to take the gas tank off of this truck, but I have to do all these other things. Cause if I'm going to be welding and grinding, I don't want to blow up my brand new shop. So
good idea.
You know, let's take, and the people are like, it's not, it's going to be fine. I weld on cars all the time. I'm like, nah, you know what? The lot of the sheet metal has to be replaced is hugging the gas tank. I cannot do it. And so, you know what? I disconnected the gas tank later on. Me and Willie will take it off completely. So I'm getting past all my little fear hurdles. And now I'm stuck with a truck that's completely dismantled in the middle of my shop. That's only going to get out of there unless it's put back together. So I've cornered myself.
That's right.
I've cornered myself into having to finish this. And it was the same fear I had in that shop. We should call this the shop of redemption, because it was the same fear I had when I started building the canoe 2 years ago in the same shop. It was the first project I ever built in that shop was the canoe. And I was like, oh, I'm going to start this canoe and it's going to be one of those half-built projects that I sell at a flea market in 5 years from now with all the wood and the plans. And, but you know, I obviously made it through that. So, which comment in the, make a comment in the section below about your fears. Well, that's what you'd see in a video. But what about you guys? What do you, like, what can you guys identify?
Oh, I mean, I have tons of stuff. Like, that's a thing that it's so easy to ignore what you just said about, like, the reason I haven't done this is because of this little thing that I'm so unsure about.
Just one, it could be just one little thing, like stitching leather, yeah. For instance. Like, you know, like, I got leather projects I put off because I have to go through so much leather. I'm just like, oh, that's going to be troublesome. But then if I just drill a tiny hole like I did in my last video,
yeah,
it worked perfect.
So I've done this, and we've talked about this before, but I've done this my entire life where there's a thing that I go, well, I don't know. Like, I don't have all the things I need for it, so I'm just going to keep putting it off. I'm going to keep putting it off. And the longer you put something off like that, the bigger it gets in your head. The more space it takes up, the more weight it has. And so it becomes, like, you think it's a bigger problem than it actually was in the first place. And by the time you get to actually do it, you know, like, I'll put something off around the house. I'm like, man, okay, good example. We had a piece of siding blow off the eave of the house the other day at the very peak, 30 feet off the ground, the highest point. And I was like, man, I don't want to climb up on the roof. Like, that's the dangerous spot right there, to be leaning over the edge of the highest point of the roof of the house. And I have to go up there by myself. It's like 20 degrees outside. I don't want to do this. I have to nail this piece up there. And blah, 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 blah. And I come up with all these reasons that I put it off and put it off. It took me a minute and a half. There was no danger at all. There was no problem. It took four nails to get this piece back in place. It looks like it never went anywhere. It was like so dumb, but I just built it up in my head. And the longer I pushed it off, the bigger deal it became. But when I actually finally ran out of excuses not to do it, I did it. And it took a minute. Literal minute to be done. And it's out of my head, it's out of my garage, and it's over with. The same thing happened with the arcade machine. I put that off for years. And it took a long time.
Oh yeah, it was a running joke. It was a running joke on the show.
And then R2-D2, same kind of deal. Like these things you build up in your head, they're just a lot of work. And you put them off and they become a bigger deal. And then once you actually make some progress on them, you realize it's not that big of a deal. Yesterday morning, we had this project, Anthony's here, and we were like, man, you know, we got to start this thing. We understand half of it and the rest of it. Like, I don't really know how that's going to work. I haven't figured that out yet. And we could spend some time drawing on the whiteboard, or we could CAD it up, or we could just jump in. And like, I don't really feel like it. By the end of the day, the project was, I don't know, probably 90% done. Like, just the matter of getting past myself and starting it created a momentum. And then that momentum caused, well, okay, we're already this far along. What's the next little thing we can do? What's the next little thing? And then it just, things work themselves out.
What I like to do is I'll give myself an hour. I say this all the time. I mean, Aaron could probably attest to this. I don't even know how often I say it, but I know I say, I'm like, all right, just for the next hour, let's just see what I could do. If it's something I don't want to do, all right, let me just give this an hour. And then all of a sudden I'm into it, and the pain and suffering that I built up is diminished.
Yeah.
And I said, just give yourself an hour or something, whatever it is. Just confront it for 1 hour, and Maybe at the end of that, you'll say, you know what, this isn't a project I should have chosen. I'm not going to continue. Or you'll be like, you know what, the hardest part is already over in this 1 hour. The rest of it is the breezy part. Whatever it is.
Another thing you can do, which is what I'm trying to come up with right now, is a way to take a project that has a bunch of stuff or has some things about it that you maybe have never done or you're scared to do or whatever. Find a scaled down version of those same principles to do first. So the investment is smaller, which is kind of like doing an hour, I guess, if you think about it that way. I want to build the A-frame, right? We've talked about this many times, and I have made zero progress on that. So this is becoming the new R2-D2, the new arcade machine. It's intentionally going to be a couple of years down the road, or at least a year before I start it. It's going to take a while. But in the meantime, because I've never built a building from the ground up, I'm going to build a small studio for my wife for pottery. I don't know if I made that clear before, but that is the principles and the execution of foundation, framing, interior wall insulation, making a roof that won't leak, adding electrical to a structure at the framing stage. It's all the pieces. And then once I've done that at a small scale in my backyard, then I can take those same principles, those same skills, and go to the farm and do it in a different shape. Because that's what it is. Like, but it's daunting to think I'm going to build a home, a house that has multiple bedrooms to start with. Instead, I can do a one-room little shed that's essentially the same. I know they're not the same. All the construction people, don't yell at me. I understand they're not the same thing. But the framing principles and the foundation and the codes that go with framing a small structure also apply to framing a big structure. So that's one way that I'm going to kind of start chipping away at. You know, a lot of times I'll say to people that a big problem is a box of small problems. It's the same thing. You got to chip away at the small problems. And once you solve all of those, you realize that you've solved the big problem. The way that you can do that is by starting with a smaller box, right? A smaller set of small problems to solve. And then you're moving toward your goal. So that's kind of what I'm doing with the buildings.
So how do I get myself to open up this 3D printer that I just bought the other day?
So just do it. Give yourself an hour.
Give myself an hour.
Because 1 hour to be completely immersed in that. Set a timer. And when the timer's up, say, you know what? Just push it all back in the box and throw it away.
Because I feel like David from 5 years ago would have got this new toy in the mail and then would have opened it up right away and spent the rest of the day playing with this new thing and getting to know it. David now creates all these little barriers like, oh, I got to learn how to do 3D resin printing. I've never done this. I've never even watched a video on 3D resin printing. Like, so now I can't even open up that box until I watch videos or read a book or do something.
Give yourself that hour.
So don't watch any videos. You will eventually. Yeah. Don't watch any videos. Open the box. Set it up, realize how little there is in the box, how little there is to do. Just look at it. You're like, oh, there's a machine that's pre-assembled and there's a bottle of resin. Okay. So obviously one of those goes in the other one. So that's like the first step you have to do. And then like walk through the menu on the machine itself, get it to the point to where it is plugged in, it is powered, you've done the setup, which is all guided, and it has resin in it. Do that today. And then tomorrow, find your favorite, you know, STL that you want to print, just something to play with, just to try it out, something small, and then follow the software process, which is incredibly simple and fast and easy. And so like Jimmy's saying, take an hour today, get the machine out of the box on a surface, ready to be used. Tomorrow, do something with the file. And then the next day, actually try to put those two things together and print it. And that's, you know, 30 minutes an hour, 3 days in a row, and you've got it.
One of my barriers, and I have a question, and you can probably clear this up right away, is I know that in resin printing, that piece has to be cured somehow with UV light. Do I have to cure it right away? Do I also have to learn the curing process, or can that piece sit for a little bit, and then I can figure out how to cure it the next day?
It can sit, but there's no curing process. It's UV light. So you can take it and set it out in the sun. And it's done. Or you can put it, if you got the curing station, all that is a box of light with a turntable in the bottom of it. And you set it in there and you turn it on and it spins the thing around so it gets light on all the sides. And it takes like 2 minutes and then it's done. There's nothing to that. Like, I guarantee you the entire process is way simpler than you expect. And when I said like an hour, 3 days in a row, you could accomplish a whole lot in that.
That's true.
It'll probably be an hour of getting the entire thing start to finish, set up and printing, I would imagine.
I am on a different level of this barrier. I've known for a couple weeks now that I need to get the oil changed in my truck. I'm like, I gotta do this. It's such an interruption. When am I gonna do this? And it was becoming this little stressful thing in my head, because every time I get in my truck, I'm like, I gotta go get the oil change. I gotta make an appointment. And then I got an email from Honda saying, it is time for your oil change. Set one up now. So I click the button on the email, and then I fill out the thing of what I want to do in addition to the oil change. And then at the end, it says, drop off or have somebody come and pick it up. I'm like, what? Somebody's going to come out to my house, pick up my truck, change the oil, and bring it back? Of course. That's the option I'm going with, because it doesn't interrupt anything that I'm doing. So I create these little barriers all the time. And then there's always a simple solution. Not always, but many times there's a simple solution.
Yeah, I need to change the oil in my truck as well. I also need to change the alternator, and that's a pain. And I've put that off for almost a year now. Like, every time I go to crank it, it's like, and I'm like, oh, man, I really need to take a weekend and, you know, gut the front of my machine and put this new alternator in. And I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do that. And I know it wouldn't take that long to do. It's just I've never done it, you know. It's just one of those things. We've been talking about this for about an hour. You guys got anything else on this topic? Uh-huh. Any encouragements for people who might be running into the same thing?
No, I think you just, there's been so many times in my life, I still am so aware of this, but there's still moments where I'm like, why does that one thing keep getting put off? Why does it? And I have to really stop and think, oh, okay. Oh, the reason that keeps getting put off is because I don't have the right screws, and it's probably just a McMaster visit, and that's the reason why. Okay, let's do that. You know, I'll lean on Aaron and say, Aaron, could you help me find the screws for this? Or I'll do a late night shopping spree and buy 35 different screws, you know, and I probably only need one of one packet. But it still happens to me, you know, despite all the stuff that I do on the daily basis, you just have to sometimes, you know, they say you better recognize, you know, as a joke, but it's true, you better recognize. So you got to ask yourself, what is that one thing, and why is that one thing? What and why? What and why?
And I think it's important, too, for everybody to understand that just because you see people on YouTube make stuff on a regular basis, the three of us specifically, if you see us make things, that doesn't mean that we are just like people who always jump headfirst into everything. For me, there's a whole pile of other stuff that I never do because I'm scared of it. Because I don't know what to do. And I'll get there someday. But like encouragement, if you have that feeling, just realize that you're not the only person that has that feeling. Everybody has it. Even if they can find other things to make videos about every week.
So. Very true.
All right. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters. You guys figure out what you're going to recommend. Every week, got to say thank you to the people that support the show, because that's why it happens. And we are legitimately thankful and grateful to and for all of you. Everybody over there at every level gets the after show, which is another 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer, of us talking about other stuff. Sometimes people buy 3D printers in the after show. Like this week,
I wonder how many people
Jimmy's going to jump into that.
I'm going to buy the Palopoli.
Jimmy's going to jump into that other $4,000 printer this week, probably. But big thanks to our top supporters over there. Odin Leather Goods, Make Shape Create, Rich at Low End Designs, Blondie Hacks, Funkiss Artistic Creations, You Can Make This Too, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, Albers Woodworks, and Corey Ward. But like I always say, there's a big, huge list of other people. And I thought it would actually be fun. I don't know if I'm going to do this every time. I'm going to pick a random person that's not in our top tier just to say thank you. Shane Bronson. Shane Bronson, Shane? Thank you. He's been a patron since November of 2017.
Oh.
That's awesome. Oh. Never said his name on the show, but thank you, Shane.
I just want to say Odin Leather Goods, we always brag about our little accomplishments. Odin Leather Goods does that constantly. That's his business. So we brag about our leather accomplishments, you know, like, but I'm saying go check out Odin Leather Goods to see that every day. He's a professional leather craftsman and he does production as well.
I ran across his Instagram channel years ago. I don't even know how long ago. and but well before I had ever done any leather work. And his work is beautiful. It's very, very clean. He's got a great skill set and a great look to the stuff that he does. And so when I saw him show up in our Patreon, I'm like, oh, cool. I know that guy. I mean, I don't know him, but I know him, you know. So anyway. All right, what you guys got for this week?
I'm going to go with Andrew Wong's new app. It is called Flip. He's by far my favorite music channel on YouTube. We were supposed to work on a project together this spring, but 2020 happened. He just launched this new app, and it's all sample based. And you can sample your surroundings and make music with it. And it is absolutely beautiful. It is a lot of features, which on an iPhone or an iPad can be overwhelming, but it's laid out really good. And I haven't made anything that I like with this app yet, but I really love the flow of it and how it works. I have so many music apps on my phone and iPad, and a lot of the times these big companies like Korg and I'm blanking out, but they make these apps and they look ugly. They put too many features in there and there's no workflow to them. This looks so well thought out, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's called Flip, and the subtitle is Make Music Everywhere. It's really good.
Which is like a perfect thing to come out of what Andrew does.
Yeah.
Because that's like his thing. And Andrew's going to be a guest on BrainPick.
Oh, sweet.
In the very near future.
Sweet.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
I'm going to talk about Anne of All Trades and then one other one, but I just want to bring attention to Anne of All Trades. She has a business plan that got thwarted because of the 2020 pandemic and everything else that's been going on. So go check out Anne's latest video. I was watching it the other day, and it brought me to tears. She's so passionate about what she's doing and what she's trying to accomplish. I immediately emailed her right afterwards, and we got a little conversation brewing. But if you can go watch Anne of All Trades, and you know, maybe you could help by buying some of her products. She needs to raise some money for her school that she's building on her property. And it's just it's a really, she's just so raw and honest and in her conversation in that video. And it's just, you know, she's so vulnerable. And I just think it's great that we can be like that in this YouTube community and feel safe. You know, it's like you don't have to posture and pretend you're one thing or another. You can just be yourselves. And I just thought that was so touching. So go give Anne a follow and just go check her out and just see how you can help. Even if it's just like lending a hand, you know, she says she needs to put a roof on her structure before the winter really kicks in. And if you notice in the comment section, guys, like, I live 10 miles away, I'm a roofer, let's do it. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a beautiful day with his 25, 30 people helping her get it done in just a couple hours. You know, anyway, go check that out. And then I also want to talk about, really briefly, I love the pandemic has spawned a couple of things that nobody ever really saw coming, like comedians on YouTube. There's so much good comedian content on YouTube now, which they always just had it as like a portfolio, but now they're doing intended work on YouTube and putting together really good edits of shows. And Sam Morrell is a super funny comedian that I've come to really like. And I think I've only ever seen him on YouTube. I don't think I've ever heard of him outside of YouTube. Sam Morrell, very funny guy. Looks like Anthony Bourdain. It's crazy. I've been watching him for the last week. It keeps popping up in my suggestions. And then I'm thinking to myself, why does he remind me of somebody? But he looks like Anthony Bourdain. Anyway, Sam Morrell is funny. I guess I've heard about him on the podcast. You know, all the comedians have each other on podcasts. That's the first time I heard him. I think I heard him on Marc Maron. So Sam Morrell and, of course, Anne of All Trades is good video.
Cool. I actually had Anne on my list as well. I'll let you have that one, because I had two things. But yeah, big, there's a big need there. She does, Anne is awesome in person. She's awesome in videos. She is somebody that like has, I think, really opened up a lot of, I don't want to do the like, you know, we need more women in video thing just for the sake of doing it. But I really think that she as a person has opened a lot of people's eyes to like, if you want to be a farmer, she happens to be a woman, I guess is my point. But if you want to be a farmer, like, go do it. You can do it. If you want to learn how to do woodworking, go do it. If you want to do this, go do it. And she's an excellent example of that in a bunch of different ways. And she's decided to make her own school, like a physical school. That's a building where she teaches that stuff to other people. And that's awesome. So the fact that she is at a point where, you know, she's been working super hard on this for years and years and years, and it's just halted because of outside circumstances, this is a great opportunity for us as a community to help if we can. Granted, everybody is in kind of a weird spot this year. You know, not everybody can help right now, but if you can, even just buying some merch or signing up for one of her classes or something like that, go do it. It'd be cool. Give it as a gift.
Oh, there you go.
Don't tell my wife, but I bought her some stuff from Anne for Christmas the other day. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to recommend is another friend of ours. Jocko has a new company. And so he released, he's been talking for a long time about wanting to release more products faster, like smaller things that are not as production heavy as, you know, the knife and the driver and stuff. So he started this new company called Placed Atoms, and their first product is this calendar, which is so simple, but man, what a good idea. Like, I don't go in for everything that everybody I know makes. Like, sorry, Jimmy, I'm not going to buy your razor blade. No offense. It's cool. I don't need one because I don't. No, you didn't send me one. That's not a hint, but it is. But I don't go in for everything that everybody I know makes. But like sometimes there's a thing where I'm like the ice pick, where I'm like, okay, I wouldn't have seen the use for that, but now I see it and now I really would like to have it. This calendar is a big paper wall calendar. Seems pretty basic. But below the numbers, it tells you how many other days are until the end of the quarter or at the end of the month or the end of the year. I don't remember exactly how it's laid out. But so when you look at a day, you're not just looking at today. You're looking at how that day relates to the future. And so if you think about setting goals, you always have this present like countdown toward a goal that you set for yourself. It's like such a simple but such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea, but then I started thinking about it, and to me that's terrifying. I don't want to know about anything until like a minute before I have to do it. Like if I have to go to a wedding, I'm like, oh wait, do we have to go to that wedding tomorrow? Taylor's like, yeah, that's tomorrow. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I didn't have to stress myself out about it right up until the minute I needed to. It's the same thing with work. Like, I don't want to know anything about it. But that's just me. I mean, I could totally see that as being useful. Once Jocko, I saw that picture and I was like, what's going on? But when he said it, he was like two sentence, like not even two words into the first sentence. And I'm like, I get it. I get it. It's a genius idea.
I would love a personalized one. And it has one more countdown on there until my next quarterly taxes are due. Cause that's the thing that it's always bothering me. Like, when do I got to write those huge dumb checks?
Oh yeah. That's a reminder on my phone. September, January. Yeah. Yep. Anyway. So he has a new company called Placed Atoms to make these products with, and he's going all in on like films, you know, soundstage to make, you know, production commercials for these things. And I love that guy and I love what he's doing. So go check that out. Order a calendar for next year if you want to, or just keep an eye on what has coming, because he always has great ideas. So anything else?
Every week? Time you clear your throat like that, I expect you to go into the commercial for Jocko's knife. You should TM that cough, because Jocko now uses it in the beginning of every video.
Oh yeah,
it's in the beginning of that video.
He said
video.
That was like he told me that was going to be like the beginning, the recognizable thing between all of his different products. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, you're welcome to it. But yeah. Anyway, that's what I get for doing things first thing in the morning. Just somebody gives me a voiceover job and I do it first thing in the morning and have to clear my throat into the. And that wasn't even like, that was just in the recording. When I recorded that for him, it was me sitting down and going, okay, I got to do a voiceover thing. I'm going to clear my throat. And then he used it. Anyway, all right. If you guys don't have anything else, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks
for hanging out. And I hope you're doing well. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Love you.